Here we are. Lecture 16. My gentle approach to using my stem cells wisely. Seminar, Santa's gift program to me, how I train my genie stem cells. My gentle approach to using my stem cells wisely. I compliment my stem cells on the direction I choose to have them go. I train each stem cell to feel good about it itself. I am the master consciousness, and my stem cells joyfully and effectively follow my direction. My stem cells are in my harmonious, successful household. My gentle approach to using my stem cells wisely, I compliment my stem cells on the direction I choose to have them go. Now, when you want to have something be done, when you want to have something be accomplished, you compliment it. You say, "My, you are doing a wonderful job. I'm so proud of what you're doing. What you're doing is a joy to watch. As I watch you do the work that you're doing, you do it with such skill and such wisdom and such gentleness. And my gentle approach attracts more and more action out of them to do the things that I want them to do." Now, our stem cells are no different. They are our consciousness. They are our thought system. They are our stem cells. Now, I cannot imagine any stem cells anywhere in the universe that would not go along with happy compliments about themselves, with happy thoughts about themselves, and accomplishing it. And by the way, I noticed that Ingeborg changed her coat. She has a beautiful golden coat on today. So, I compliment my stem cells on the direction I choose to have them go. Now, do you ever say to yourself, "I can't understand this, I don't know what's going on, why is it all good things happen to other people but not me," and things like that? Do you ever say anything like that to yourself? Do you ever say anything like that to yourself? If you do, you are making your stem cells unhappy. Not that they're unhappy, but you're making them act in an avenue that you presumably don't want. When you say, "Why do good things happen to other people but not to me?" you're telling your stem cells, good things are not supposed to happen in your life. Good things are not supposed to happen in your experience. Good things just don't happen to you ever. You never have good things happen to you. What a terrible thing to say, right? Well, now, this is what we say when good things happen to other people but not to me. This is what we say when we talk so foolishly like that. And we do talk foolishly, because we say, "I can't, I don't." We say, "There's no way I understand this." Our stem cells are ready to respond instantaneously to whatever we want. "Hey kids, we're going to the circus." "Wonderful, we're going to the circus, we're going to go to the circus, we're going to have fun at the circus, we're going to see all the animals and stuff." "Oh, hey kids, you got a telephone call just now, and we're going to the zoo instead." "Oh, we're going to the zoo." "Well, are there any clowns at the zoo?" "No, but there's tigers in cages that we can go and see." And there's, and then you start listing all of them. "Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, that's even better than the circus." Well, it is good. It is good. Everything has its own good. Our stem cells readily flow with whatever proposition we offer them. Our children readily flow with whatever proposition we offer them. And if we say to the kids, "Guess what? Instead of going to the zoo and the circus, I just got 5 tickets to rent horses and go for a ride in the park on horseback." "Oh, I don't know. Do you guys know how to ride a horse? Can you sit on a horse?" "I bet you can. I never thought of it. I bet you can sit on a horse." "I can sit on a horse. You know, here, now, everybody, come over here to this chair. One leg one side, one leg the other. Now you hold the reins like this here, and then you say, 'Giddy up, horse,' and your feet go into little stirrups on the side. And then we'll ride around the park. And not only that, we're way up in the air. We can see everything that we're riding through. Wow, what a great experience. Ellen would be so happy here because she sits so high, you know. She can see everything. Isn't that wonderful? Wow, wow, wow." Do you think the kids want to go?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why do they want to go?
Because
Because you made up your mind you wanted to. Now, maybe there were other motions, other activities going on there that were saying that, you know, you couldn't do this because the circus tickets were all sold out. You couldn't go there because the zoo had a problem and they had to close the zoo for a day. They had a flood or something. And you don't tell the children this. You say, oh man, wait a minute, I got some tickets for going on a horseback riding trip. Isn't that wonderful? You know? And so then you go on a horseback riding trip and what happens? You have a good time. But you have a good time because somebody has established that you're going to have a good time. Now, is that somebody you? That somebody is you, always saying that you're going to have a good time. Well, Rex, you don't want to sit in front of an empty chair, huh? You want to sit in front of a full chair. I'm a smart dog. You're a real smart dog. How'd you get to be so smart? You got a smart dad, don't you? Yes, you do. Now, yes. Gertrude looked away as I said, you got a smart dad. She said, oh, come on now. You know, He does. You never saw his father, did you? I'll have to show you a picture of his father. Handsome fellow. My mother's gorgeous. But, you see, here I'm painting a whole new picture for Gertrude of the little scenario that we were going through there for a second. And her mind was completely changed from the zoo and the circus to and horseback riding to seeing the parents of who? Rex.
Rex.
Seeing the parents of Rex. And she didn't expect to see Herb Byerly as his father, you know, because Herb Byerly doesn't have a golden mane. I used to have a golden mane. My hair used to be very blonde and reddish blonde, nice, you know. Always, it's very attractive, whatever color I choose to wear. And I use a variety of colors. I think it's a lot of fun. Well, now, this is what you want to do. You want to make a joyful journey out of the activities you do with your stem cells. Now, Ellen, what would you like your stem cells to do if you had the opportunity to say, stem cells, here is a task. Chanel.
I tell them to dance in the ballroom of my body, and their partner is every organ action and function of my body, every cell, and they sing and dance on the walls of I am only perfection, perfect in every way.
That's great. Now, Christina, if Ellen had the stem cells in her self dancing on the wall of her heart, in the ballroom of her being, what would the stem cells think that they're supposed to do in every moment of their existence in Ellen's life?
Having fun.
No, dance. She didn't say fun. She said dance.
Dance.
She's, no, Ellen. You have to understand.
Yeah.
They don't know. They're coming for the first time to your ballroom. And you're teaching them to dance. And you're teaching them to dance. Now, left foot, right foot. You know, you're not saying fun. If you had said, come on, let's go have fun. Now, that's a different thing. Or, come on, let's go and bring back to its original purity and perfection this beautiful temple of mine. Get in there and scour it out and clean it out and bring it out and smile it upon, you know, with roses. And what did they do? Yeah?
Your wish is my command.
Your wish is my command. But you got to give them a wish. And if your wish is just to go dancing.
No, dancing on and singing on I am my original purity and integrity.
Now that you're saying that, that's good. But you didn't say that before. No, you didn't. I listened very carefully. Because if you would have said that before, I would say, ah, yes, she got there. She got there. You see, you spent so much time inviting the stem cells in the doorway of your life and taking them into the ballroom, saying, here, we're going to dance on the walls of my heart and we're going to do all these things. And you never got around to telling them what the purpose was. Now, they have one purpose. And if you want to visualize the stem cells as doing something beautiful, like having fun, well, that's okay too. But I don't visualize my stem cells as having fun. Now, you may, and that's perfectly okay. I visualize my stem cells as being sort of like a beautiful awareness or consciousness in me of my original purity and integrity. The one stem cell, Ellen, I want your attention. You know, the one stem cell is put into my body, and its task is to return my body to its original purity and integrity. And as it returns my body to its original purity and integrity, then I don't know what it's going to do. I don't know whether it's going to dance or whether it's going to sing or whether it's going to scrub things up or whether it's going to just be its own charismatic perfection and let that exude throughout my entire being. See, what is it going to be? No, I'm not asking you to answer me. I'm just saying you have to know what it's going to be. If you want your stem cells as dance partners, well, that's fine too. But the thing is, look, and please don't fight me by shaking your head. No, you know, you listen carefully. You have 10,000 stem cells.
Yeah.
And you have one perfect purpose for the stem cells in your body. You have. And that's to return to your original purity and integrity. Every cell of your body returns to its original purity and integrity. Now, how many stem cells does it take to do that?
One.
What are you going to do with the rest of them? You're going to hold a dance, right? And then you're going to dance. But first things first. Always first things first. If you get them all dancing, and then the one guy says, okay, I can't go dancing, everybody else is dancing. You put me to work on returning him to the original purity and integrity. Now, Ingeborg, Sylvia, how long does it take to do that? To return to your original purity and integrity?
It's already done. I mean, the moment I give the command, the wish, so to speak, it's done.
Well, in other words, they could go dancing right away then. They could go dancing right away then, since it's done.
No, first you have to give the fish the command.
You have to let them know what your wish is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what is your wish?
The original purity and integrity. Mm-hmm.
That takes a second to say that, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, how long does it take them to do it?
Well, it's done according to my belief.
All right, now, you're saying all these things because we've said them before, but what you want to say is, they act upon who I am. Now, the original purity and integrity is what you already are.
Right.
And they are revealing that.
Right.
And how do they reveal it?
By returning my awareness to the fact.
There you are. They return your awareness. Now, how do they return your awareness to this? While you're out lollygagging around dancing? Or while you're paying close attention to what they say, what they have returned your awareness to?
Well, it's naturally while I pay close attention.
I'm not saying she shouldn't be playful. I'm not saying she shouldn't have sort of a magical attitude about her stem cells. But I'm saying, first things first. If you have a perfect body, then it's fun to dance. If you don't have a perfect body, it's not as much fun to dance, is it? So the first thing is to get the body in order. All is in divine order, you know? Then, after you've done that, then you dance the storm. You understand? Now, Anita?
Yes?
Get in your car.
Yes?
Now, what are you doing?
I take the key. Hmm? Oh! I bless the car.
And what car?
I bless.
You bless whatever car you have in your consciousness. And if you're going to bless the old buggies you had in the past, that's great. If you're going to bless the new buggies that are coming in, that's great. If you bless the buggy you got right now, then that opens up the door for all other things for you.
First, I bless what I've got and see that I yield. And then all falls into place.
Right. And if you don't do that, what happens? You're not in charge. You take what comes. Now, what were you telling me yesterday about your car? When you were getting storm, you looked here and you looked there and you looked here and you looked there and you saw a lot of cars. Some were too expensive. Some of the financing wasn't about right. But the right one came along. That was storm.
Yes.
And it was in perfect condition. And it was ready to be bought. It was ready to be bought on your terms.
Yes.
Everything was ideal. You didn't have to fight anything. You didn't have to chase anything. You had in your heart your perfect ideal car.
Yes.
And it came.
Yes.
And as you change cars from time to time, you always do it the same way.
Yes.
Now, what did you do first?
First, I bless and see.
No, you don't have a car.
Oh.
Yeah. What do you do?
Oh.
What do you do first?
First, I have a vision.
And a vision.
The vision.
Oh my!
I
know. I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm pulling your leg.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I draw the vision, well, as an example, on paper. So I got it clear in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Bless it and go. And see it happening.
Do you have an idea of what it is? Do you have a mental picture? Do you have if not an idea, do you have a feeling of what it is?
Yes.
Now, can you tell when you're meeting your feeling and when you're not meeting it?
Yes.
And when you're meeting your feeling, what happens?
It's ideal, it just feels harmonious.
And when you're not meeting your feeling? No matter how glorious the thing may appear,
yeah,
it isn't right for you.
No, it doesn't feel right.
It doesn't feel right. That's the point.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Ellen?
Yes?
You've got 10,000 stem cells, and they're in you, just swirling around saying, Mommy, tell me what to do. I have no toys to play with. Mommy, tell me where to go. Tell me what to think. Tell me how to act. Mommy, Mommy, Mommy. And you say, let's go dancing, you know. Now, I'm picking on you just a little bit, but let's go dancing, they say. Well, what's dancing? Well, I'll teach you how. No, well, that's not what you want to do. You say, stem cells, you have one purpose in my life. And that purpose is to reveal my original purity and integrity in every cell of my body, in every mental attitude that I have. My original purity and integrity. You have original purity and integrity in your mental attitudes too, you know. Everything. Now, those little buggers, they're going to be kind of busy. Busy on your choice. And then, what happens? Then, after they've got their job assignments, and they're busy, then you do as you wish. You have your party if you want to. But first things first. First things first.
So how does general healing come into that?
I don't know that we're talking about general healing or specific healing or anything of that nature. I don't know that we're even talking about sickness or wholeness or anything like that. I know that we're only talking about one thing.
Giving
we're talking about
giving a specific
what?
A command.
Yeah. We're only talking about putting our stem cells to work once they have come into our palm. My gentle approach to using my stem cells wisely. I compliment my stem. I am talking about the mechanism of using the stem cells in our body. I'm not talking about the individual uses they have for it. Now, Ellen, if you say that you put your stem cells to work, and what do they do? What do they do?
They do what I tell them.
Your stem cells reveal your original purity and integrity.
Okay.
Your stem cells reveal your original purity and integrity. Now, in revealing your original purity and integrity, what happens?
It's done.
Is there anything to heal?
No.
Anything to change?
No.
Anything to improve?
No.
No, it's all done.
Right.
Like you said. Now, then, you have little tasks that you choose for them. You know? Do you?
No. Because it's all done.
Is that right?
Yes.
Is that right? Gertrude?
Yeah.
Christine, is that done?
Yes.
Rex, is that done? Hey, Steep here. Is that done? Ingeborg?
Yes, it is done.
Okay. Okay. No. If it's done, then now, what are you doing?
Just dancing.
You're looking into more activities. Fun. You're looking into games. You're looking into all sorts of things to make your life an exciting adventure. Dancing and singing and whatever. Then, my statement here, and you've got a printed copy in front of you there, lesson 16, my gentle approach to using my stem cells wisely. I compliment my stem cells on the direction I choose to have them go. Now, I choose to have my stem cells go to reveal my original purity and integrity overall. When I have my stem cells revealing my original purity and integrity overall, through all, in all, as all, then that's it. That's it. Now, how do I place them at work? How do I see, let's just say, one little stem cell. I get one little stem cell from my brain. All the rest of them, they flitted away. But one little stem cell came to stop and say, Ellen, what do you want me to do? And you say, well, thank you so much for asking. I would like to have everything in my mind, body, and affairs return to its original purity and integrity. And the stem cell would say to you, oh, that's easy. That's done. I merely recognize it, then I tell you, and then you recognize it, and it's done. And then it takes about a split second to do that. Just the tiniest portion. Well, what do you mean the tiniest portion? Well, if it's already done, I say, Helen, it's done. Helen, it's done. Enjoy, enjoy. And you say, oh, is that why I feel so good? And that's why you feel so good. Now, we have a tendency to want to sing and dance and play and do all sorts of other things when we have work to do. Now, we have work to do. And that work is to pay attention that our stem cell gets the message from us of what we want. Your wish is my
command.
So, what command are we going to give the stem cells? Are we going to say to the stem cell, stem cells, I would like to introduce you to myself. I know that this is your first day on the job, and I'd like to introduce you to myself, to yourself. I am a beautiful being. I am a duchess. I am a whatever you think you are. I am beautiful. I have a lovely body. I have a fantastic mind. I have so many ideas that I'd like to share with my world and do and just play with. And the stem cell says, boy, this is fun. You know, you're a live one. You know, you're not that it knows dead ones, but you're a live one, you know. And so then, what do you do? What you do is you demonstrate to the cell mentally what sort of thoughts you approve of in your household. See, our last statement down here, my stem cells are in my harmonious, successful household. Now, what sort of temple do you live in, Gertrude?
The temple of the living God.
And? Good, good, good.
Good.
A good temple. You live in the temple of the living God, but what kind of a temple is your temple? Now, are you like a Baird Spaulding that you have the temple made not by hands, that somebody knocks a little piece off of it and it grows back on? Now, what am I taking umbrage with? What am I arguing with right at the moment here? What aspect of my statement am I disapproving of? Yes?
My ideal.
No. It's true, it's the ideal. Now, what am I arguing with? Why would any part of the temple ever break off? Why would any part of perfection ever need to be repaired? You know? You see, if we allow ourselves to play that game, as innocent and lovely as it may sound, we are messing ourselves up. All ways we see our original purity and integrity, all ways we see it revealed, all ways we see it wonderful, always. Never do we see it needing repair. Never do we need it, see it. It cannot be broken. It cannot be touched. Now, let's answer that question. Why can it never be touched? Anybody? Why can your integrity never be touched?
It's perfect integrity.
It's a concept. It's a concept. It can never be touched. It's a concept.
Okay.
And if you, and it's always perfect, but it's a concept, but you, by your thought, can make it imperfect by saying it's not good. See, we, by our thinking, can take these concepts and pretend that they're not real. Now, what did Sylvia say as we first started talking about this? Let's see if she remembers what she said. It is. Already.
Done.
Leader, back to the water. It's already done. So, Sylvia, what has to be done?
Nothing.
To be aware of it.
Well, yeah.
To be aware of it.
Yes, the awareness. Yes.
Are you perfect?
Yes.
Then be aware of it.
Yeah.
Are you beautiful?
Yes.
Be aware of it.
Yes.
Everybody else is, but you're not. Because you say you wish you were more beautiful, you know. And that's what we do to ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
Be aware that you are all beauty, right?
Yeah.
You're all goodness.
Yeah.
You're all love.
Yeah.
You're all peace.
Yeah.
You're all magnificent. Right?
Yeah,
right? Okay. Can you see? It's easy to get off the track because we're in a world that is human, and I'm only human, you know, in a world that has limitations to it, and we say, I'm only limited. Now, Gertrude, is what I just said true?
Yes.
No! We're not in a world of limitations. We're not in a world that leads us astray. But you see, these are the things that we can fall out of place with. We think that's the answer we should give because that's sort of like I lead you onto it. But don't fall into the trap. You're beautiful. You're wonderful. You're fantastic. Gertrude, you are living in your original purity and integrity right now.
I do.
Whether you like it or not. And you say, I like it. Yes, and I do. But this is it, you see? We cannot allow ourselves to fall off the track just because it sounds reasonable to do so. We cannot allow ourselves to think improper thoughts that do not lead us where we want to go just because it sounds like it might be the proper thing to say. It's not the proper thing to say. Never. Why is it not the proper thing to say? It's not the proper thing to say because it's a lie. Now, you can lie all you want. And you can say, I'm only human. And everybody on earth will say, that's right. You can say, I'm poor. People say, that's right. You're a millionaire and you're poor. I don't quite get that. Well, I'm not a billionaire. Well, that's right. You're a millionaire, you're not a billionaire. But when you say, I'm wealthy, you can be wealthy with $10. Takes all out for an ice cream. Including tax. But, you see, this is the thing about that stuff. We are totally into the human stuff. And we want to get out of the human. Not that the human is bad. You want to be a master. And a master is one who is a master of his spiritual self and human self. Now, what would a master say if he stubbed his toe?
Well, if he would stub his toe.
I'm sorry?
If he would stub.
I'm sorry? A master does not. There's no if about it, is there?
That's exactly right, yeah.
See, now, if you're the kind of master that stubs his toe, then you better say, I'm home perfect,
that's
real
right.
Quick in a hurry. But, you see, that's what we do. Now, I give you a hard time while I'm giving you the secret. And you know the secret already. It's not anything new. I keep telling you month after month, year after year. year after year and lifetime after lifetime. You don't know how many lifetimes we are together. You'd be delighted. Mm-hmm. You'd be delighted. But it's wonderful. Now, Gertrude, how do you live your ideal spirit, mind, and body life?
With my thought.
Yes.
I see myself all perfect.
Yes. 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 You live your wholeness in spirit, mind, and body by knowing that is who you are. Now, if you are whole and perfect, and you think you're not whole and perfect, then you will live as though you're not whole and perfect, even while you are whole and perfect. Gertrude, why is it that you persist in having a limp when you no longer have a problem that you have to limp? Why did Ingeborg have her knee repaired and then keep leaning over even though she had her knee repaired? Why did she do that? It's habit. It's habit. We're so in the habit of doing it. And then I take Ingeborg and I dance with her and we talk and dance, and she's standing up straight and she'd be walking around straight, and then all of a sudden she'd drift over when the habit takes over. The habits try to own us. And when these habits own us, well, it's terrible. But you see, she knows it's not there. The knee was made perfect, and she knows it. It's perfect. That knee can never have arthritis. You know that? That knee can never have any rheumatism. It can never have any problem. And yet she was leaning. She wasn't leaning on the imperfect self. She was leaning on the imperfect idea. And that's what we do. Yeah? We lean on that imperfect idea and we forget to let it go. This is why in plastic surgery, you know, cosmetic surgery, when people have cosmetic surgery, the doctors make them look gorgeous. They look in the mirror, oh my, who is that beautiful person? That's you. And then they go out in the world and they act like their old person. They say, oh, well, how's everybody in your world? Haven't seen you for quite a while, you know. They keep hiding their face. They don't have to anymore. Their face is perfect. But they keep hiding it. Because inside, they're the old person. Outside, they're the new person. Usually it's the other way around. But inside, they're the old person. Outside, they're the new person. Now, how do you get that new person out from inside? Interesting problem. No big problem. The way you get it out is by claiming it. Claim it. Name it and claim it. Name it and claim it. Who are you? Gertrude, who are you?
I am God.
Hmm?
I am God.
But that's good. But that's, I'm whole and perfect. But yes, I'm God. I'm God. And when you are God, what are you? When you're God, you're whole and perfect. When you're God, you're the allness. Ellen, when you invite stem cells into your house, what's the first thing you have them do?
I give them my command.
And what is your command?
That I'm my original purity and integrity.
You are whole and perfect. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then what do they do?
Then they dance on that.
They say, yes, it is so, and they dance out of happiness.
Yes.
Ellen?
Yes?
Have you ever had a stem cell in you that you knew of? And I'm going to say yes, because I'm going to give you an illustration, but did you ever have one that you knew of?
Yes.
Who? What? What? What did they do? You said yes.
Well, you just told me that.
No, I haven't given you the answer yet. Okay. I said yes.
Okay. Well, let me hear about it.
Oh, Ellen, your prize. Now, you have stem cells in you. which reveal to you how wonderful you are. And then you say poo-poo. You put them aside. You have stem cells inside of you. Stand up. You heard me. You have stem cells inside of you that say you have a beautiful body.
Okay.
What's your first thought? I wish. Need a little work here and there. Well, stem cells don't work that way. You are ideal in every way right now. Ingeborg, how?
Totally ideal.
Ingeborg, the ideal.
Ideal.
That's what you said before. That's why I'm picking on you to say it again. You are the ideal. Now, as the ideal, what work has to be done?
No work.
Now, how does a lady stand? All right. How does a princess stand? You should pay attention to those things because that's who you are.
It's just like I stand. That's how
that's stand.
It took a long time to come out, but that's there. Okay. They all noticed it first.
Yeah.
Why?
Because I am there.
Because each one's a princess too.
Yeah.
Okay. You see, you're not creating them.
No.
Not at the moment.
They're reflections.
Yeah, you're... Yes, you are. You're their reflection. Now, what's next? You are a princess.
Right.
Now, how does a princess act?
Just like that.
Right. How does a princess talk?
Just like that.
And what does the princess say?
I'm a princess.
No. She's always positive, always beautiful, but she never has to say that she's a princess.
That's true, yeah.
Can you imagine Queen Elizabeth walking into the room? Ladies and gentlemen, I am Queen Elizabeth. And the people would say, lady, I think you're a fake. Because Queen Elizabeth would never walk into a room and say, I'm Queen Elizabeth. She'd walk into a room and we'd all immediately stand up and curtsy. Do you know how to curtsy?
Yes.
Curtsy for us. My gosh, you almost lost your balance. Do it again. Do it again. It's not Evan, this is not a speed race.
I don't have a script to do it beautifully.
You don't have to. It's all in your mind. You're going to curtsy in a quiet, peaceful, respectful attitude. You're still fast. Can you do it?
I have always done it like that.
No. All right, now. Come this way a little bit here. Now, Ellen, you come over here. All right. Anita,
okay.
Give us a curtsy like you'd give to the Queen in New Zealand. See, she's a New Zealand subject now. And the Queen is still in charge. Oh, my. Now, do it again. Now, why did you stay down so long? Why did you give it so much time?
Because I'm not in a rush.
That's what you believe you want to do. What were you doing by doing that? Showing
respect
to the Queen.
Yes.
All right, now, did you look at the Queen when you did that?
No,
not really.
I felt like I looked inside.
Mm-hmm. All right, now, here's the Queen. And you're giving her a curtsy. Now, how would you do it? And what would the Queen do to you? She would bow to you, right?
Yes.
A Queen would not curtsy to you,
no.
Would she? Why do you give curtsy? You show.
Respect.
Why do you bow?
Show.
You accept. The bow of the curtsy of respect. Now, Ellen, are you going to do this or are you going to do that?
I'm doing this.
No, come on, come on.
Yes.
Curtsy, please. Ellen, what are you trying to do? with your hands down there.
Okay.
Ellen, all right, now, see, she's closer to the royal court than you are.
Oh.
And so that's why she's so familiar with this stuff. Okay, now. Anita?
Yes.
Show us how the queen would make a bow.
She just
but did you notice her hands were free?
Actually, she gives a hand.
No, 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 no. You're going through the line, and
no,
you're too far away to take hands.
Okay.
Not that far away. Come in a little closer to the candle. That's far enough. Okay, now show her how to bow. How the queen would bow. Now, the queen wouldn't do that. She'd go like this. Just a light nod. Mm-hmm. Yes. All right, now, how would you do it? Now, you don't close your eyes.
Oh, I forgot.
You're supposed to look them in the eye.
I know.
That's right. Now, not you don't chew their nose off. Oh, you don't stick your tongue out. Ellen, my goodness sake. But you see... Don't take her with you when you go visit the queen. The queen would have her thrown. The queen would have you thrown out. Now, really, we find this a little laughable. Don't.
No.
It is really not funny. She's being absolutely disrespectful to what I'm asking her to demonstrate. What am I asking you to demonstrate?
Respect.
Respect. And how can you stick your nose out, your tongue out, and be respectful, you know? Now, you give her a bow like the queen would do. Now, before you do, watch her. Now, give a bow.
The queen bow now.
The queen bow. Mm-hmm.
That was beautiful.
Now, as she does it again, look at her hands. Now, as she does it again, look at her feet. Look at her feet! You're looking at her eyes. I could see where your eyes were.
I'm so happy.
Yeah. Well, I want you to look at it at the time she was actually doing it. Now, do you know what she's doing? She's doing it as though she's accustomed to doing it. She's accustomed to greeting people. When she goes into John's mother's house, what's her name?
Julien.
When she goes into Julien's house, she says, Julien. And her first, look, her first action is, Julien.
Wow.
And then she gives her a hug. But first, she nods her respect to her. Queen Anita to Queen Julien. They nod respect to each other. Neither one curtsies to the other. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're both queens. You understand?
Yes.
Now, this is what you learn to do as master of your stem cells. You're queen of your domain. And so you just gently nod with your hands not covering your genitals or not covering your breasts or stuff like that. Your hands are just gently... You see... You can tell the difference between a professional person who likes himself and an amateur. An amateur doesn't know what to do with his hands. A professional doesn't have any hands to do anything with. They're always in the right place. You understand? He doesn't concern himself where his hands are or what they're doing because they're always in the right place. Because he's not trying to speak with his hands. And they're resting gently at his side, or if he's in a chair, is in his lap, or on his knee, or something, you know. But that's the genius of it. Okay, sit down. We're dealing in quite an important area, because we're dealing with our stem cells, and we want to have respect for those. Those stem cells, they're more magnificent than you'll ever realize. Where did they come from? The ones we're talking about right now, the brain. Where did they come from? They came from your brain. Goodness. Okay, now the stem cells are coming from your brain. Now, is your brain something you treasure?
Yes.
Do you treasure everything that's in your brain and everything your brain does and think and says and so forth? Yes, you do. So now, here we say here, my gentle approach to using my stem cells wisely, I compliment my stem cells on the direction I choose to have them go. Ellen, how do you greet your stem cells as they come into your life?
Wow.
I was using your name talking to her, and she gave your answer. Now, what did you say?
Respect.
She said with a gentle bow, which is respect, and you said with respect, which is a gentle bow.
Right.
So, you bow to your stem cell. Welcome, welcome. Isn't that what you do? Your head ducks like bop, 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 bop. Welcome, welcome. That's what you do to your stem cells. Now, what do your stem cells do in return? They give you a big hug. They say, oh, we're so glad to be here. I've heard all about your house, Ellen. I'm glad that I'm in your house, because it's a fun house. What do you want me to do? Anything you want me to do. Will you say what? What do you say? Return my being to its original purity and integrity. I want to have a makeover on my house.
A what?
Makeover. When women go to the beauty shop, they want a makeover. They want their hair redone, their face redone, their body redone. They want to have a complete makeover so they look, and their clothing style completely redone. When people go on the Oprah Winfrey show, oftentimes as one of the gifts that she gives to them is a complete makeover. And they go to big deal salon and big deal clothing store in New York City, you know, in top drawer and so on Fifth Avenue or whatever. And then they go in there and they do like they did to Queen Latifah, you know. They took her clothes and, you know, and in Pollyanna too, remember? What happened to Pollyanna? She looked exactly the same, didn't she?
Yes.
No change.
Yeah.
No change. Because she already was gorgeous. She was Haley Mills.
Yeah.
She was gorgeous. Now, this is what happens to you. So, you want to have your stem cell go in and do a makeover in you. Returning you to your original purity and integrity. That doesn't mean to when you're a baby. That means to Ingeborg, the ideal self. Come on, you corrected me before, and I said yes, you're right, and then I told you to do it. Now, play the game.
The ideal self.
So you want to return to your ideal self, your original purity and integrity, your ideal self. That's the ideal self. That's the ideal Sylvia. We're only looking at a facsimile. Will the real Sylvia please stand up? You notice she didn't curtsy? She did not curtsy. Why did she not curtsy? Because she's the queen. Now, remember who you are. And you go around bowing, but you don't curtsy. And you don't even curtsy to the queen. Because the queen bows to a queen. You understand that? Now, what are all these here?
Queens.
Then what do you do with them? You acknowledge them with your bow.
I acknowledge them with my bow.
Okay. Now, what are your stem cells?
My queens. My other queens.
Oh, she's going to have her stem cells be feminine. How nice. I mean, don't you know stem cells are masculine?
No.
No, I don't either, but I mean, I said they were. But anyhow, my stem cells are masculine. Thank you, Sylvia. My stem cells are masculine, and Sylvia's stem cells are feminine, and I'm not going to let them associate with you. I don't want to be a feminine being. I want to be a masculine being. You know, that's my original purity and integrity. And so I can't let them associate with you, because yours are feminine, and you would be... You'd bother them. They'd say, oh, being feminine looks like it'd be fun too.
They are the symbol of queen.
Huh?
They are the symbol.
Yours.
Of queen,
yeah. Mine?
The symbol of king.
King. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's not superior than anybody else. It's just the symbol. And it's a wonderful symbol. Yeah. That's the gentleness. So, I train each stem cell to feel good about itself. Can you do that? Train each stem cell to feel good about themselves? How do you train them to feel good about themselves?
I feel good about myself.
Huh?
I feel good about myself.
Yeah. And then you look at the stem cell and you say, what?
Hey, you are great.
Hey, this is going to be fun. You're great, stem cell. You are my kind of people. You're my kind of cell. Oh, wowee. This is marvelous. You follow that? And that stem cell will jump through hoops for you. And that's you. You'll jump through hoops for you when you start saying how nice you are. You know what hoops are?
Yeah.
Circles. And like a dog jumps through a hoop. See? That's what you do. You jump for joy. And the stem cell would do it again and again and again and again and again. Now, let me ask you a question. You have 10,000 stem cells popping down into your body from your brain, okay? What happens to the stem cell once it's been used?
They're still there.
It's always on
duty.
It's always still there. It never leaves. Now, why is it that we appear as though we don't have those stem cells around? We haven't invited them to stay. Now it's time for us to invite them to stay. Hey, you guys, you don't need to go any further. I like having all 10,000 of you here, but 10,000 times 365 days of the year, times 100 years that you live, my goodness, you realize how many stem cells that are going to be in you? Yeah, isn't that wonderful? And you know, stem cells, this is not totally correct, but you know stem cells, you are so tiny, you don't take up any room at all. You don't take up any room at all. Now, okay, this is a good point here. I am master of my, I am the master consciousness, and my stem cells joyfully and effectively follow my decisions. My stem cells are in my harmonious, successful house. Hold. Okay? My stem cells are in my joyous, successful, harmonious household. Ellen? Oh, no, let's try Christina here. Christina, what is it about you that everyone sees immediately? The big C, a big letter C. What do they see about you immediately? Your?
Original purity.
Huh? Your what? That would be nice. Gertrude, what do they see about you? Your big C. What do people see about you? Whether you're coming or going. You cut down there, ball there. Whether you're coming or going. Anita, what do they see about you? What?
My charisma.
Oh, your what?
Charisma.
Charisma. Yes. Now, Gertrude, since you answered the $64,000 question correctly, can you ever have too much charisma?
No.
Now, Gertrude,
yeah.
What is going to happen when you got a full house ready and you, it's full of charisma? What's it going to do? It surrounds you. And people will see it from miles around you. They'll see your charisma. It's like Rex would smell you coming. And people do. If you have the privilege of ever seeing a charisma, what would he call it also?
An aura.
Aura. If you ever have an opportunity to see your aura or anybody's aura, pay attention. It is exciting. Because our aura is whatever we include in ourselves. Now, Gershaw will hang in there with you for another minute. Where does your aura extend to? How big? How big is your aura?
Oh, it's...
infinite.
Yeah, infinite.
Does it include all the planets and stars and all the galaxies and everything?
Yes,
nice, huh? You see, you are a better person than you ever dreamed possible. You're magnificent. And that is what our point is this morning. That aura, that charisma, that self of yourself is what we're dealing with, Ellen. Now, Ellen, what did your charisma say about your body, your mind, your affairs?
Did I have a perfect body, mind, and spirit?
Now, why does it say that? Besides being true. Why does it say that besides being true?
Who was saying it? Who was saying what?
Who is what?
I don't remember who was saying what. Who was saying it?
Who cared?
Said, why do they say it? Who was saying
I'm saying that.
Okay.
I'm saying, you said... What? What did you say our charisma was?
My original purity and integrity.
And I said? That's a start.
Yeah.
Now, what is our real charisma?
Our allness.
Our divine self. Our allness.
Our reality. Yeah.
But our reality you'd always like to make into a humanness. But it's our divine self. It's our reality. It's our allness. And... what is that? Yeah.
Unlimited.
Mm-hmm.
Infinite.
Yeah, and it's a fun thing, but what you want to learn to do is just flow with it and enjoy it. Why is it we have trouble with it sometimes? It's something Christina said. We have a false, what Christina said.
Humility.
We have a false humility. Ellen, you're the creator of the world.
Yeah.
You're my creator.
Yeah.
I'd like a new pair of shoes.
I'm your creator?
You just agreed to it. I said, you're my creator. And you said, yeah. And I said, I'd like a new pair of shoes.
Ah, okay, because I said, yeah. You are your own creature.
See how quickly she gives me up.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, thanks a lot. You know, you really make me welcome in your house. I thought we were friends and I was visiting for tea or something, you know.
I can find you a pair of shoes.
That's not the point.
I know.
Oh, my. But pay attention, because these are the things that make this stem cell real to you. It makes it something that is natural to you, something you can play with every moment of your life, you know. And it's good. It's good. But if it's not natural, then you sort of shy away from it. That's why people never bothered with God, because you couldn't see or hear or know God and live. That's tough. The priest did a good job of scaring the people away from knowing God. And scaring them away from reading the Bible. You read what I tell you to read. One paragraph, you know. And memorize it. And Gertrude, as an educator, what would you say reading only one paragraph of a book or chapter does to you? It puts you out of... It puts you out of harmony with the overall.
Yeah.
You see, when you just read one chapter of my book, or not one chapter, but one sentence out of it, and you say, well, Herb said this. Well, yes, I said, this happens when we do this, and this happens when we do this. Well, now, you just took this happens, not when we do this. And therefore, what you read was not true. Do you understand that? I said, if you will speak words of unhappiness about yourself, you'll have an unhappy life, and you deserve it. If you speak words of happiness about yourself, you'll have a happy life, and you deserve it. You put the cause in motion for yourself. Now, can you see? If someone just said, you have unhappiness in your life, and you deserve it. Now, see, you know, my gosh, Herb, that's a cold thing to say, you know? And this is why teaching these things, going with these things, talking about these things, it's so important to do it harmoniously. Very good. Ellen? Now, what is Sylvia planned for lunch today?
Sylvia might tell us.
Well?
That's what I thought. A well. Okay. Take a pause now. We'll come back.